Okay. Shkai for coming. The topic, Trespergene editing and Halacha Hashkafa, I knew as much as the topic a couple days ago as anyone else in the room, probably less. Just went through the sugya a little bit, obviously just an informative shiur, just an interesting, the different topics that pop up in Halacha Hashkafa, and obviously it's thought-provoking and things that you can discuss and delve into your own, but just these are just some of the shilas. So CRISPR stands for Clustered Regularly Interspersed Palindromic Repeats, which is basically a mahalach. It's what they discovered. I'm going to go through the whole history. It was a process that was discovered in 2012, and it was illegally, the first time it was done illegally by a researcher in China and on humans. And basically what they do is they basically are able to, we have, the average human has around 20,000 genes, and the genes are made up of billions, I think, of nucleotides, which are basically, think of it for the amateur, you can think of it like code in a computer, like it made it a little easier for me. Numbers and letters, obviously, and there's a certain code, and if one of the genes are a problematic gene, or there's something awful, then it can cause, one mutation in a gene can cause up to 6,000, approximately 6,000 diseases. The reason why this topic actually just came up also for me was that I have a cousin, that was the case, and there was a spinal issue in the family, a spinal gene that they, I don't know, spinal bifida or something else, and they basically, in fact, they were able to, they altered the gene, they replaced it with a healthy gene, and the baby was born, in fact, without that problematic gene. So it's just an interesting thing that can be done. For anything, obviously, the shaila is there's a risk factor, whatever the risk factor is involved in sakana and the way the risk and the gain is, that's also a shaila, as it develops, it gets more and more safe, but obviously it's something to deal with and discuss with one of the shailas that have to come up. So beyond the risk factor, let's discuss maybe some of the other questions that come up. That first shaila, which is really a klaliyistika shaila, a general shaila, which is not specific to this, is the shaila of refu in general. The Gemara in Bava Kamma learns out, Tanur Rabbi Shmuel, Oimer, V'rapa Yirapa, Mekan Shanitin Rishos L'Roif V'Rapa. He said, a doctor's allowed to give, is allowed to treat somebody. And the Havamina would have been, why can't you go to a doctor? Why can a doctor not treat somebody? Taisa speaks up because maybe he wants to differentiate between a Makabe de Adam, a person hits you and you get a sickness and illness, or a wound from a person, and or Menashamayim, if Hashem sends an illness to a person, so that's what Hashem wanted. You would think, it's like, so to speak, going against the will of God, so how could you do that? But the Pasuk says, no, you're still allowed to do that. And not only that, there's Rishus L'Roif L'Rapais, the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayis, in fact, says, Chayiv HaRoifim in Adin L'Rapais, M'choyiv Choylei Nefesh, and it's B'chlal HaPasuk of Hashi V'Yisaloi. The person's obligated to do Hashem's Aveda, the person's money, the person's objects. So kavachomer, when it comes to a person's guf, when a person's to heal a person, for sure, it's an obligation upon a doctor to, or anyone who has the ability to hatzala, anyone who's in that field, anyone who's capable of that. There's a very interesting Ibn Ezra. This is obviously, if Ibn Ezra, a lot of medical shilas are not really mutter. He says rape yirape. It's the oisha nasan reshus the roif and the rape hamakos v'abtzayim sheyiru bechutz. You're only allowed to heal external wounds, external illnesses, and maladies. Rakal choyli shu befnim beguf, any internal problems in the guf, b'yad Hashem l'rapoisei. As I state, this was the Ibn Ezra in the Pasuk Rapi Rapi writes. Obviously, I don't know if, Stami heals that halach l'mais, obviously in Shulchan Aruch is not paskim at all. We don't find that in the Pesachim at all. And obviously, that's the classical understanding and psak that we go to doctors, Man obviously writes, maybe in the other times that maybe the doctors weren't the best in halach. But anyways, halach ma'isa shkanach paskins not natay reshus to roif for the rapis. It's a mitzvah for a roif for a doctor to heal. For sure, if someone doesn't, it's shvichas damim, and he goes on. So basically, just an interesting, just to keep in mind that going to a doctor obviously is something, but you have to take into account. We need a heter for that. It's not something so simple. And the Tefillah Ben Ezra could be any internal, illnesses would not necessarily be mutter. Okay, just an interesting haskal. So really a lot of the shiloh, pretty much the halachic aspect of the shiloh of of CRISPR, of gene editing and halacha, is really a shiloh which is really has a predecessor of which is IVF, which is basically the, you know, before CRISPR, forget about gene editing, there's a concept where people, there's a can of children, or there is something going on, and they basically, the way they do it is that they, in fact, and this is how they do CRISPR as well, they take the sperm and the egg, and they'll fertilize it, IVF in vitro fertilization, which means in a petri dish outside of the, not in the uterus, it's utero fertilization, this is outside the body, and therefore, that's the, and the process is the same. And they fertilize it, and they see which eggs have the problem, which ones they like, which ones they don't, which are not good, and they end up discarding the ones that are not, you know, healthy, or the ones that are not the ones that they want to. They edited this one, and they have extra ones, and they end up throwing them away. So, the big shilas would deal with shvichas damim, technically throwing away, killing a live being from the Torah, obviously. Question is, what's the status at this point, at least in the process? Is that, what are the shayla of shvichas dam? Another shayla would be a shayla of haytzaras zelav atala. Once we're throwing away the seed, it'd be a problem of throwing away the sperm. Would be a question of one's not allowed to just make zelav atala. Would this be a problem of that? So let's discuss the shvichas dam shayla first. There's a Gemara in Yevamos, the place coming right, the Rabbi Chaver brings arrived from this Gemara. The Gemara says very fascinating, like halachic nafkamina. The Gemara says a bas kain. You know that a daughter of a Kohen who marries a Yisrael is not allowed to eat truma. As long as she's in her father's house, she can eat truma. She can't eat truma when she's married. If her husband dies, she goes back to her father's house and everything like it was before. If she has a child, the child continues on the legacy of, so to speak, and she's remains in this as a status of being married to a Yisrael, and therefore she cannot eat truma. So the Gemara there, Chizda says that a bas Kohen should not see Yisrael, who may, she married a Yisrael and he died. She's allowed to eat truma. There's no children. She's allowed to eat truma after her husband Yisrael died till 40 days. Why? Says the Gemara. Zichru daf. Samach tes. Okay. Not bad. What's the picture? So the Gemara says that a mother of shach, why should she eat truma? Maybe she's mubaris, maybe she's pregnant, we don't know yet. Gemara says, if she's not mubaris, and she doesn't become mubaris, she doesn't become pregnant at all, so then, again, she goes back to her father's house, and there's no problem, and she can eat truma. V'ima abra, and if she is mubaris, that's the concern, that she has a child, and therefore she's considered, she has a halachic status of the Israelis now. So the Gemara says, ad arboim, till 40 days, maya ba'almu. It's only considered water. Now, it's not like just like a lushan, it's just a sprach, it's just a way of speaking, that's the lexicon of the Gemara. No, halacha lamaisa, we're saying that for 40 days it's maya ba'alma, and there's no chashash of eating truma. Truma would be a chiv misvei shemayim if it would be other things. It's not a joke over here. L'chaira, it seems right, and the place can be right, like the Rav Chaver brings a right, and others bring a right, is that this Gemara seems to be saying, and it's really a shayla of abortion, maybe up to 40 days also could be, but at least in this, you know, the particular, just there's one aspect of it seems like in this Gemara that till 40 days will be considered maya ba'alma. Another very, 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 very interesting. So therefore, again, obviously, this stage of being in when they've transplanted into the mother, it's definitely prior to 40 days, right? It's definitely, and therefore, it's not going to have a problem of throwing away. It only lasts 2 weeks outside, not being in the utero. Another svar to be matter to say it's not a problem of shvichas dam, throwing away the extra sperm that and the fertilized eggs that are not being used, is based on a tshuva chacham tzvi. Chacham tzvi says it's a famous, I think the Mishnah Berurah actually talks about it, brings it down. He's a sophic about a, you know, the Gemara discusses Rava created a golem. As, you know, everyone debates the moral. I mean, Prague make a golem? Did he not make a golem? But Rava for sure made a golem. And it is, and I heard someone say, it's not a debate whether the Maral of Prague could make a golem. He for sure could have made a golem. Tells me he did make a golem. But the Chacham Tzvi, who lived, I guess, shortly after that, at the same time, he said, Rava created a golem, and he said, they also said, my grandfather, Belio, from Chelm, the Avbezin of Chelm, also created a golem. And he wanted to know, Shiloh, whether or not you can mitzarif, could you join together a golem for a minion? Is it considered like a person for a minion? So obviously the tzad that you cannot, the tzad that you would be a problem, is it's not mikdash b'nei Yisrael. It's not amongst b'nei Yisrael. It's not a Jew. It's not a, and a human. The other tzad, he brings down an interesting gemara. The gemara says, "Sanhedrin, I'm a gadol yosem b'tech beis, someone who has an orphan in their house, and he brings them up, and he brings up an orphan or boy or orphan girl. It's keilu yolda lada. It's like you created him." So he says, Chacham Tzvi says, maybe if you created it, it's like ma'isi yadayim shel tzadikim is not any worse than bringing up a child. And obviously the place is going to do a debate about that, how literally to take that gemara. But he brings a fantastic, interesting raya. He says the raya to the shilas, Reb Zera actually decomposed the golem. I don't know if it was the same golem as Rava, but he took the golem and he turns it back into offer. So he says, why would he do that? How many times are we stuck without a tenth man to the vineyard, you know? How many times do you need a tenter? So why would he do that if he could be mitzarev to the vineyard? It sounds like he cannot be mitzarev to the vineyard. But there, just as a side note, he speaks out. He said, how could Rabbah have, Rezeir have decomposed the golem? It would be a problem of shvichas damim. What about that Shiloh? What about the tzad that he's killing? He's killing a form of a life. So he says, and it's interesting, he makes up a drasha sort of. The Gemara says, the pasuk says, shavich dam ha'adam bi'adam. Dam ha'yi shavich. So says the Chacham Tzvi, like almost like reading a Chazal almost. Da'afka adam ha'noitzer toich adam. The shavich dam ha'adam, what's the actual word? Bi'adam. Da'afka, when you kill a person who is bi'adam, who's created and born toich ha'adam, da'ayinu uber ha'noitzer b'me'imai. A child that was born and grew and came from a mother's womb. That's when the pasuk says that shayvich dam ha'adam ba'adam dam yishafei. But who gavra the bar of this golem that he created is not considered b'me'imai. It wasn't created b'me'imai, therefore it's not a problem shvichas dam. And obviously, this is a very very practical application. The shayl, there's no, he was created in a plastic petri dish, whatever it's made out of. But it's definitely not at this point for sure. Maybe when you retransplant it and then it's born, it'll have, because it is growing from it's at that point it is coming me'imai, but at this point it's definitely not me'imai. According to Chacham Tzvi, it seems like it would be mutter, at least again strictly in that sense of shvichas dam. That's the first, the one shiloh. The other shiloh which we mentioned was the shiloh of Hatzaras. About throwing away seed is a problem, a very very severe problem. The Shulchan Aruch even says it's the most chomer de kaveiro. We talk about the most chomer. But anyways, so shiloh. What about that shiloh? So there's a tshuva for the Marsham. Marsham. So according to Shevin Nishvas Avram, was a medical expert. He talked to the Gedolim and the Pesachim a lot. So we bring them the tshuva of the Marsham. Talks about a couple that were married for 10 years and they weren't. Weren't zeich to have children, and he says they're talking about a shiloh of taking out to see, to check the sperm and the egg, to see which one was, you know, mitzad who was having the complications. And he's talking about over there, mamash the shiloh. He says, what about you're checking the lady, they're going to end up throwing away whatever they're not using. So he says, ein ze begeder hashchosa. It doesn't have to constitute a destruction, or throwing away the zera. Why? Keeping the efsher possible. Every single one has a potential that this one's going to be the one that you're going to end up using for the child. Even though it's a suffix tikkun, you bring it right from Ramah. Ramah says a person is making the name of Hashem. I'm really pretty right from Saita, but a person raises the name of Hashem. I'm asked to be masakin to enhance it, to make it better. Even though it's a mechikas Hashem, but it's not a problem of mechikas Hashem because you're doing it. The tire is ticking. You're doing it as an enhancement. Even though this itself is not an enhancement, this itself is a destruction, but it would be considered enhancing in the future, and therefore it would be considered, all this is included in ticking. So he wants to say the same thing. Any of the extra fertilized eggs, that you're even though you're throwing them away, it would not constitute ashkasa because it's all as a ticking for the, I guess, the eventual, you know, the one that's going to be, everyone has a chance to be the right one, and therefore it's even though it's a savak ticking, you're doing a b'shvil tikkun, you're doing it for a constructive purpose, it wouldn't be considered hashchasa zera. Another way you could say why it's not a problem of haitzar zela batala is there's an Aruch HaShulchan in your day of Pedalad. The Aruch HaShulchan says, talking about a shalom vinegar, they had some sort of talam, worms inside in vinegar that was very small. So he's talking about the shalom, but he says, Shemati, I heard, Shebechol mine mayim, in any water, ubiyichod, may gesham, particularly when it comes to rainwater, is filled with bruim dakim, and it has amoebas, and it has all different types of species living inside of it. and the eye can't see them. And so technically it's a problem. I have to drink water. And he says, if you look at a microscope, the chuchas is a concept you could see, you could see very clearly. So why not a problem of eating, you know, bugs, shkatsim rumasim? So he says, Teretz is, emesu, deli ostra Torah, b'masha eina ayin shalanas, but deli nit the Torah l'malachim. Torah wasn't given to malachim. So you have to live your life. How else do we live our lives? He says, the riot, the proof in the pudding is that you walk in the street, you walk in wherever you go, the ear is filled also with microcosm, I don't know, whatever these micro organisms and whatever, not microcosms, sorry. All these all different different living creatures, and technically these bacteria and things that are alive,
trillions
and billions and millions of them, and why is that not a problem? Teretz is anything that I can't see, that would not be a problem in halachic aspect. We don't take that into account. According to this svar, which so some of us can bring this as a smach, as a raya, over also the fertilized eggs are so tiny, they're definitely not near leinayim, and therefore it wouldn't be a problem, I would imagine, for both shechvas. Of meaning, he's saying a general rule, the halachic doesn't really count things that are not near leinayim into cheshbon. So the place can say it regarding esrog, if you have a black dot on esrog and it's beyond, you can't see it. You can see it under a microscope. Technically, also wouldn't be a problem because it's not leinayim. The counter tying into this, I heard one both from Shlomo Zalman. One tying that Shlomo Zalman says is that in this case, the instance with the fertilized egg is going to eventually form into a human organism. It's going to actually create something which is definitely yes leinayim. So therefore, it's not this cheshbon of leinayim tarla malachim is only on things which are. Will always remain, smaller than that you can't see in the early night. But once something is going to eventually cause and going to eventually evolve into a organism, that itself would be, not considered nearly naim. Another svar he says is if that's the way that you do it, when it comes, the way to fertilize an egg is under with microscopically and doing things on such a microscopic level, that itself would not be considered. Like you can't say, l'nid d'tar l'malachim. That's how the process works. The process of IVF and all these things are under microscopic, that's how it's produced, and that's how it's created, and that's how it's cultivated, and therefore you wouldn't have a svar near an eye. That's only a svar when it comes to things that are generally done on a larger scale, and now it's being done so small that svar would apply. Just to, so that's, that's some of the halachic shilas that would apply. Hashkafically, so it seems to be like everyone seems to be very excited to bring down the shadow of Kalayim. We find my Kalayim, the Rishonim talk about, the Chinuch Sefer Chinuch writes, Hashem created the world b'chacham b'svun v'das, and He made everything b'fim asher tzarech in Yonah. He made everything like it needs to be, perfect, exact. Hashem made the world b'shleimus le'inenu shu tzarech. And the Isra of Kalayim to mix two different species together of animals, that you're saying, so to speak, that the world is chosem b'shlei musa, it's missing, you don't have a mule, it must be that we need a mule, it must be that Hashem didn't create the world perfectly. And the Ramban, similarly, the Ramban writes such a lashon, he says, someone who's makif shnei minin and creates a new species, he says, and is ki'ilu yachshav shel hishlam HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olam b'kol hatzorech. It's like you're mashan. You makish my separations. He said, "You're mamish. You're denying my separations because Hashem didn't create this, and you're trying to create a new entity. That itself would be a steer to my separations." That's what he says. There are those. The Goryar, the Maral says he doesn't know what Ramban's talking about. The Medrash says, "Kol davar shakadosh baruch hu bara b'sheish to meiraisha tzarach tikkun." No, it's not true. We're here for tikkun. We're here to masak in the world. We know the famous Medrash. The Gemara brings down a famous ma'isa, a famous story with Rebbe and Antonius Rufus. That they were discussing whose actions are better. Are Maisa B'nei Adam better? Are people's actions more pleasant? We could do more, or Maisa of Hashem could accomplish more. And he brings a proof of the fact that we do mitzvah of Mila. Hashem created us without a mitzvah of Mila, and we need a tikkun, whatever the Hashem made it for, but whatever the reasons behind it are. But at the end of the day, the point of it is in order that we could do things that Hashem gave us a world to be masakin it, and we have to misaken them, not tikkun ha'olam, not just like that, but the concept of the misaken things that we have to do through our mice and through our mitzvahs, and therefore, in fact, it wouldn't be necessarily a seer. We're not playing God, as they say.
But it's a fine line between, like, refuah is mutter.
So that's what I was going to say.
What's the
question? I was going to ask. What struck me, refuah is mutter.
Refuah is mutter.
Why not playing? You're not playing God. Why is it different than refuah? I mean, according to the first thought, the school of thought, that it's, you know, you're mixing in with the...
Rabban has such a nusach somewhere that really...
Right, Rabban says you should... Right. But it's but in terms of Pashat, that's right. So I think the answer, like I think you're saying, that when Hashem created animals a certain way, that's how he created them. So you have no right, so to speak, to mix in and to disturb that. As opposed to, you know, a person has a machal that comes about, and that's not the prototypical, you know, healthy human being. Hashem created a human. So it's a chasara thing, and therefore would that be considered a stira and a kasha, because you're fixing something that's kind of broken, but it's not the prototype. The prototype of the human is
so in this case. So in terms of fixing genes, and so the question is, which category does it fall into?
So the difference might be also slightly to change a little different is that by genetics, even if you have a problem. You know, I mean, again, we get into the shaila of if you were created like that, if Hashem created you like that, as opposed to maybe if the machla came afterwards, you know, maybe that itself, I don't know, that might be also a fine line. I mean, Hashem, yeah, after this is a lot of hashkafa. You have to debate with your local philosopher. Yes.
There's a concept of a person is born with potential for a lot of things, such as cancer, genetic disorders, and something uncovers that potential, such as an illness or a virus.
Right.
So even like a cancer, I mean, Hashem could in a person produce the potential for the development of a cancer, and then it gets uncovered later in life by smoking or whatever the case might be. So these genetic disorders, sickle cell, you know, spinal disorders, all the different things, is, you know, I think it's Pashut that Hashem created that genetic makeup for that person for whatever reason. So the question is, with these genetic manipulations that you're discussing, is that, you know, Hashem makes the refuah before the machir. So is this something that in today's world of technology and artificial intelligence and all the other things that we kind of shun away from,
right,
and that allow us, Hashem's uncovering, to allow us to discover, to treat these devastating illnesses,
right,
Tay-Sachs and other things?
Right. Right, so I think ultimately the school of thought who says hashkafically no, I mean, they'll tell you, again, not saying what I hold, not saying anything, I'm just saying is they say that no, you know, this is also playing God. Yes, Hashem did create that, but maybe it's to test us. A lot of conspiracy theories out there.
That's what
we're supposed to. Yeah, a person needs a paisik, and a person needs a rav, and obviously a competent rav, and someone who, a bal seichel, along with, you know, working together with I'm saying. I have another sort of like a secondary topic if there's a yeah.
You know, in vitro they oftentimes will take the sperm from the testicle. It's not actually ejaculated. Does that change the concept of wasting seed?
So the Paiskim do talk about that. So you're saying they, oh, that way.
Yeah.
They talk about interesting. That's interesting. I didn't go the huge sugya. What I did see a difference, the differentiation between, apparently there's a way that they do it, is that they actually sometimes, I mean, I think the classic way of doing it is like you're saying, that they take a sperm directly from the male. But there is some paiskim, I think Tzitzel Yezer, even though he's against the whole thing, he says it's definitely better to actually have regular intercourse, regular tashmish, and then remove it, because you're doing it derech tashmish. You're asking, you're asking in itself. Right, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. He has a lot of, you know, I think the way you do it that way, you know, every time a woman's pregnant and your friend can't give birth, you know, whatever, the, you know, age, still you're doing it derech tashmish. It would be, that definitely would, I don't know about that, you know, that difference in terms of your shiloh. Once I was in the lab, I was thinking about maybe, you know, sorry, got me thinking about lab-grown meat. You know the shayla of basar meat miturebet, I think that's the right way to say it, but the shayla of cultured meat, you know, meat that's grown in the lab, but the way they do it is that they actually take stem cells from, you know, a real piece of meat, and they can cultivate it and actually produce a steak, you know, shmack a steak. I think the OU recently gave their first hashkacha on lab-grown meat. Oh, that's the shayla. We have four shaylas to the shayla. There's four parts to the shayla. One shayla is the basar b'chalav. Could you use milk? Could you not? Are you fleishik? A second shayla, which they discuss, is that the way that it's cultivated is that they basically take it when they're developing it, they take some sort of serum from the blood of, I guess, the animal, and they take out they remove all the white blood cells, the red blood cells, and you're basically left over with it's a very watery substance at that point. The question is, if it's cultivated through something which is really blood, is it a problem of achilas dam? Is it a problem of blood?
It's not blood.
Now it's not blood. You think you removed, but the serum itself is blood based. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe someone knows a little more about it than me. But this is true for Rasha Weiss. I think he was the. He's writing to Menachem Gnack, who was the OU. So he writes over here. I think this is the tshuva that the final tshuva. The third shayla, which you could discuss, is talking about where the animal have to come from. Can I take it from a kosher animal? Do I need to take it from a kosher animal? Do I need to take it from a animal that has shechita to it? Can I take it from a tummy animal? Like how much do you buy into it that it's meat? You know, this is not the impossible burger. The impossible burger is totally not meat, and that's for sure not a shayla. This is a shayla of something that actually has stem cells that come from meat. And the fourth shayla is, you could discuss maybe it's Eivor Menachai. Could be Eivor Menachai, because if you're what is it?
Somebody actually holds that you could take it from a tummy animal?
You want to know if someone actually holds like that?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Listen, you want to know, I quickly, what I went through, I didn't say anyone does math.
Okay.
I mean, I guess, yeah, it seems not, but meaning, I wouldn't be surprised. One of the opinions that I'll tell you afterwards. Anyways, Lamais, the fourth shayla is no. Just because I can't say for sure what I'll say about that. But
why would the last one be Eivor Menachai?
Because where are you getting it from?
It's a lot of animals.
They make the whole animal.
Let's say you took it from the man, right? But I think even if you took it from an animal that had shechita, I wonder. Maybe it's still worse. Let's say you take an animal that has shechita. I don't know. Do you check the animal and then you take it from the animal? Could be this creation. It wasn't. Didn't have a shechita on it.
But it's not alive.
Saying that itself is not alive. Everything. So, saying could be the Eivor Menachai shayla would be only.
Of getting it from the Ben Pekua, which was born inside a shechli animal, then you have no problem with shechita.
So that's better, right?
No problem with
Eivor Menachai. Right. So Rasha Weiss writes that. Then he writes that. Rasha Weiss talks about that. Weiss. Yeah. the shear's off then. Yeah. Okay. So just interesting. My Mekaymus, Chanukah is coming up, so maybe we can throw in some Chanukah tushtel. The first shayla we're discussing with, is it considered basar? Is it considered real meat? Fleishigs? Could you have a cheeseburger? Yeah, I'm saying, you know, obviously stores. Yeah. Stores will be selling it everywhere. So the first shayla, which we discussed, we mentioned before, basically, can't compare this to in Eretz Yisrael. There's a very famous, they love this dish. I never tried it. It sounds chatzilim b'tam kaved. You know, the eggplant that tastes like liver. There, honestly, it's no like the Impossible Burger. It just tastes like fleishigs, but it's not fleishigs. It's just tastes like that. But that's obviously not a shayla at all. Question over here: when you manufacture it, and once it's produced, and once it's created, it has, and you microscopically you look under the cells, and it actually has meat, meat based the cells. So therefore, the question will be worse l'chayr. Or do you say no? At the end of the day, this itself, right now, it was came from that. But even though technically now it looks like meat, but where it come from? How it was created? It was created in a lab. It's not fleishigs. So some of the rais, the Gemara says in Menachos Samachtes, chit and shiardu ba'avim. Literally, what it means is grain that came from the clouds. Rashi learns the way Tosfos, I think, learns that it taka means through an ace. There was an ace. Somehow the clouds created wheat. The shot of the Gemara there is, could you use them for the shtei alechem which is brought in Shavuos? The Gemara says the suffix is, it says mimosh leisechem. You have to take the shtei alechem from amongst your dwellings, and this is not mosh leisechem technically. Or do you say it is mosh leisechem? Mosh leisechem is just coming to exclude chutzlarts outside Eretz Yisrael. So the Rasha Weiss is medayik. He wants to medayik. It sounds like that if not the problem of mosh leisechem, if not the problem that it has to come from technically from your amongst you, and it can't come from. The only tzad that it does not work is because it's lacking in Moshe Seichem. It would seem to indicate that it really is called chita. So he's saying it's a similar type of shiloh. It came from the source, is nace. It wasn't grown. It didn't come from Moshe Seichem. I mean, it didn't come from wheat. It's not naturally grown wheat, but it has characteristics of wheat. It looks like wheat. It tastes like wheat. It acts like a duck. It talks like a duck. It walks like a duck. It's a duck. So maybe the same thing when it comes to wheat should be the same thing. It's wheat now, but it's not really sourced in wheat. So would that be a problem or not? It seems like from the Gemara, if not for the problem of Moshe Seichem, which is specific to the Menachos, then it seems like Oshtei Lechem, then it would seem like it would not be a problem. That's one of his riots. He brings another riot to this from an Erchanaka, the famous Kash. There is a famous question that they attribute this to, I think, Chaim Brisker, but really I think before the Beis Yosef, Prichadosh talk about it. Whether or not we know that the way the Nes Chanukah occurred was they had enough for one night and eight nights, and basically the rest of the shemen was shemen shel nes. It's miracle oil. So miracle oil, that's not oil, it's a new substance. It's a miraculously created substance. Why is that oil? It didn't come from olive. I know it's not regular oil. Now it looks like oil, and it actually has the characteristics of oil, but it's technically coming from a source that's not natural, and the chayra would be a problem. So it's not shemen zayis. That's their question. It's not shemen zayis.
But shemen zayis just lasted longer.
So you're saying, right? So you're saying, you're not. Yeah, you could. There are different tzaddim. So he wants to say, his one of the tzaddim to answer the question is no. And very nice that it came from, who cares where it came from, but now it's oil, now it's like oil, now it burns like oil, and has the molecular characteristics of oil that itself would be considered shemen, even though we don't care about how it came about, similarly to the meat, we don't care how it wasn't created, shechted from an animal, but it's still... right now has the characteristics of basar, so therefore would be considered basar. Two counter riots to this is there's a malbim. The Rishonim discussed the question of how could Avraham Avinu have fed chem of a cholov and ben abakar? He fed milk and meat to the malachim. So everyone talks about it. And they discuss different etzes. So the malbim says that Dakachuba brings that from a malbim. He said that Avraham Avinu actually created the bakar through sefer yitzira. It was not a natural animal, and therefore there's no problem of eating bas mechalef, which is created from a sefer yitzira. So what do you mean? Right now it's bakar, it's basar, it's flesh. It's you can make any smoke as much meat as you want from it. It's a regular basar. So why is that not considered bonafide basar? So it seems like he's saying that it would be lacking in some way. Maybe you could apply this to our shayla also. It's not coming from a cow. It's not coming from a creation of natural cow. So maybe it would not be basar. A similar rail, there's a shalal, the guy, similar type of rail, the shvatim. Shvatim came and accused Yosef Hatzadik of eating Eiver Menachai. I'm sorry, the opposite. Yosef accused the shvatim of eating Eiver Menachai. So the question is, the shvatim, the shiftei ka, how could they be Eiver Menachai? And again, this is the shalal says that it was taka, not one shot, one shot ben pakua. That's one of the eights that they say. I think the Chum brings that down. But the other eights, which the Malbim says, is that the oval was created through Sefer Yitzira and therefore didn't require a Shechita. Again, similar idea that it's not a natural cow and therefore would not require properly Shechita. Boom. Crazy. But L'chaira, upon further review, it's called overturned. That they want to tie in that it's not a good sushta, it's not a good, you can't apply this. Because over there, even though, at the end of the day, stem cells are stem cells, you're actually applying real stem cells to the meat. So, by Sefer Yetzirah and through Nisim, it was something that was totally not, it was kolkula nes. It wasn't, any characteristics, even though now it had, but it didn't come from a real piece of meat. Here, you're actually creating it through the meat in itself would be considered a basar. Just to move to the quickly to the other shiloh, the shiloh regarding that it's actually developed in a serum which is blood based in blood. They want to bring a raya from the Gemara Bechayrus. The Gemara Bechayrus says we need a special pasuk to allow to be matter cholov, milk from a cow, from a sheep, from a goat, because why does it need a special pasuk? Because really, cholov milk is dam shenechar. It's really blood that through the process congeals and it turns into milk. So the Gemara needs a special pasuk. Gemara goes through various pesukim, and Gemara needs a special limud that it's mutter to drink milk. So Rabbi Shweiss wants to bring a raya. Apparently, you see from here, what do you mean? Now it's milk. Who cares about the past? Sounds like something that was actually created and cultivated through dam would be a problem of blood. So to which he responds, he has a few different answers, but he brings after it Rabbi Chanan in Chulin, Gemara Chulin, says that it's not a raya. Because what do you say over there that what's the hava mean? What's the thought process to say that chalav would be usher? It's not because it was produced by and it came about through dam. Rather, the concept of the Gemara, the Mishnah Bechayrus talks about if you have a cow that gives birth to a rabbit. If we have a gamel that gives birth to a para, meaning a kosher animal gives birth to a non-kosher animal, or vice versa, then you would. The concept of a bom and a tame, if it comes from a tame animal, it's tame, it comes from a tar, it's tar. That's a rule. So Chanan says it's a new din. It's a din. If you're created, and you're coming through something which is, it's birthed through a davar tame, then it's tame. Birthed through davar tar is tar. So, what do you say? The Gemara talks about it. Gemara is the kasha, yeah. Spot on. That's how much the good. So, well, I think the Gemara says it's not in the animal, right? It's just in the animal. It's not part of the animal. I don't remember the whole Gemara. But it's
not. Yeah, they chew
it. Oh, what is it?
They only chew it and then spit it out.
Right. So Rabbi Chanan says, therefore, Rabbi Chanan says that you study the Gemara is that dam which comes from, which milk which comes from dam, it's there can be considered, it's a yoytze, dam which is nechav, and asacholov is yoytze from the, comes. So to speak, it fits the category of bamina tame bamina tar tar. The having that milk would be usher was because I would think that it's like called ba mina tame tame, and therefore it's worse than over here. It's not, you can't really say that this is considered bamina tame, even though it's cultivating it, but it's not literally changing into that. And his last and the guy, he just finishes off. He doesn't really say any bias this, but he says partial of other has to be from an animal which is kosher, can't be from a tame animal. And it has to be for an animal which is shechti, he says, to avoid the problem of Ibn Achai. He doesn't really bring any proofs to it, but anyways, yeah, no, this is... I think he's coming up.
Does he agree with him?
What? I didn't see the response. I mean, you just give a hashkacha to it. I'm sure it's probably very expensive at this point, and probably, who to hear from? I heard a share from somebody else, and he said that right now it's less healthy and it's much more expensive, but with time it probably will, you know, figure a way to produce it cheaper. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see it in the store in your local supermarket soon. Shkai Chabaisa for coming.
Which cut?
I don't know. I wonder. Could they create any?
Right.